For much of my life, I looked successful by the world's standards. I bought my first home when I was 18. I prided myself in being self-made, and I went on to make a lot of money. But the truth was that I made terrible choices in men and had failed marriages and abusive relationships. This face has had many bruises and black eyes. And I eventually lost all of that money due to poor discernment and lack of wisdom. And I hid all of that mess really well. On the outside, I appeared to be a friendly lady, like I had my stuff together. I'm sure there's some listening. Your circumstances aren't the same, but you know what it feels like to pretend. And I believed I could keep hiding the mess I was on the inside. I was scared, angry, confused, and I was lost. And that was probably because I was driving the bus. I grew up in a family where my mom and dad woke up each morning and sacrificed and served their family. But they didn't have Jesus. And you can't give what you don't have. And they both had a lot of unresolved pain and made vows not to repeat the mistakes of their own parents. But in their woundedness, they created a family culture of peace at all cost. But things broke down because peace at all cost doesn't work. And my mom went into Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 14. I isolated myself. I avoided connection. I unconsciously committed to avoid reality. And in my later teen years, I made the decision to kill my own unborn child. And in the wake of that horrible sin, I hid in the dark, because sin always brings shame. I didn't even tell my own parents. I heard the gospel message for the first time at the age of 27, and I prayed the prayer to accept Jesus. I had mature and faithful people around me to teach me God's word until I moved and fell into just doing the things I thought I was supposed to do. You know, religion. I went to church on Sunday. I went to small group every week. I occasionally read my Bible, though not very often. I prayed intermittently, usually when I needed something, but I was still in charge. I was driving the bus. I married at the age of 30 in Dallas, Texas, and 6 years later, we adopted a beautiful, almost 12-year-old girl from Russia. She is my first child, my Zhanna. So you can imagine the joy that I had in adopting this beautiful girl. Meeting her was magic. It will always be one of the greatest days of my life. Zhanna made me a mama. While we were in Russia, we met a lot of great kids. But out of the hundreds of children, there was one little girl named Maya. And I felt God compel me to call some friends back in Dallas and tell them I thought they were supposed to adopt her. My friends, Kathy and Rick, even ended up going to Russia to share Jesus, to bring aid to Maya's orphanage. And then when they met her, they too felt moved to adopt her. But despite repeatedly trying over the next year, they were not able to because she wasn't available. Maya's mom was in jail. And although this birth mom had abandoned her daughter at birth, she would not sign the papers to allow her to be adopted. So Maya continued to languish in a not-so-good orphanage. Back to my life in Dallas with my new daughter. 3 months after traveling to Russia to bring our daughter home, my husband walked into my office at home one day and said, "You know how hard you work to adopt her?" "Yeah." "Well, I want to see you work that hard to get rid of her." Oh, I tried to ignore that. And the next time he said, "Either she goes or you both go." My husband relinquished his parental rights when our divorce went through. Of course, I allowed that, in part because of my pride. So in 2001, in Dallas, Texas, I took my daughter. I drove off in a U-Haul truck. I walked away with my pride and my daughter. I had some encounters with Job's friends in that season. And I'm sure they meant well. I remember one Christian friend who said to me, "God would never have led you to make a choice that would lead to the end of your marriage. You obviously didn't hear God." Trusting God to provide? I was not even asking God to provide. I was going to provide. And in that season, I learned the answer to the question you occasionally hear good people ask. How could they do that? For me, it started with small things, unwise choices. I isolated. I stopped meeting regularly with God's people. It was easy to get lost. I started listening to the world again, to the music and the wisdom of the world. I began another abusive relationship. I sinned sexually. I did not protect my daughter from harm. God allowed me, bless you, sister. To fall to the very bottom, where I sat in my garage one night and seriously contemplated for hours turning on that car and making it all go away. I was completely broken, but in the mystery of life is this: I did not turn on that car. The next morning, I was sitting at my desk, completely empty, numb. I cried out to God with desperation, and I remember saying out loud, "Have I ever once even heard you? Well, a few minutes later, my phone rang. It was my friend, Kathy, and her very silly husband, Rick. You know, the ones I thought God had told me they were supposed to adopt, my sweet little friend, Maya. I had isolated myself so completely. I hadn't even spoken to them in 2 years. Rick playfully said, "We have some news. Are you sitting down?" "Oh, yeah." He proceeded to tell me how they had tried to adopt our Maya, but it was just not possible. So they eventually got another referral of an older girl in Russia who was 16, and they had all just gotten home from Russia. And guess what? Her name was Maya, too. Sure, I was happy for them. But it really only served to remind me of yet another failure. As the voice whispered it to me, "Just another time. You didn't really hear God at all." Then Rick said, "This is the funny part, Joni. So we were in court, and the judge said, there's a problem here. This girl has a sister, and she just became available in the system this past week." So the judge explained they would not be able to adopt this older girl and take her from her sister. Well, Rick said they prayed for a moment, and they both just knew it was right. So they said to the judge, on the spot, with no information, "What if we adopt them both?" So, Rick tells me, we traveled a long way, we went to another courtroom, and then another week later, arrived back home in Dallas with not one, but two daughters. And these sisters didn't even know the other existed. Okay, that's cool. But I was still really mostly just trying to get through the phone call so I could go back to my misery. Then I heard the words that I'll never forget. Rick said, "Joni, it's Maya. Our Maya. The one God told you that we were supposed to adopt. She's our daughter. And also her big sister, Maya." Yes, this woman had two daughters, 5 years apart, in two different cities, and she named them both Maya. And God, in his perfect timing, had chosen this moment to reveal to me this miracle that my heart couldn't even calculate. And maybe more stunning to me just then, in my heart were these words, "Yes, my daughter, you have heard me again." You know, it's never that easy, but that was a turning point for me. And it was in that season, about 12 years ago, God became my closest friend. I finally got out of the driver's seat, began asking him about every aspect of my life. I can remember being at the library and asking God, "What would you like for me to read, Father?" I finally tried to obey, not because I was supposed to, but because I really wanted to. And I began to trust him in all things, whether my day-to-day life was going well or not. And I began again going to church regularly on Sunday at the old building at Reston Bible Church and to small group. And as I call it now, small, medium, and large group. but it wasn't out of religion. It wasn't because I was supposed to. It was out of a deeply personal relationship with God. I was hungry and thirsty for Him, for His Word, for His people, and I still am. And life remained difficult just then, as it does at times now. But now I have God's presence. He is always with me. Because this was when I became a follower of Jesus. When He became my Lord. As Donna said last night, my Master. God brought safe people into my life who I could confess to privately. He brought me an authentic small group where I could sit in their family room and be open and bring my life into the light as I felt safe. And I have seen as authenticity is modeled, it does become contagious. God brought me a Christian counselor who cut through years of my foolishness and my sin and brought God's truth and healing to me. God gave me the abiding love and grace from my first child, my Jana, who is now 27-year-old Sergeant Young. God gave me my husband, George. George is not just my mentor and my partner, but he's Jana's daddy. George inspires me with his freedom and his authenticity. That story some of you heard him tell last Wednesday night. Well, I got that on our first date. Call it TMI. But it worked. And with George came three beautiful sons. They have a mom they love. And they have me too. In my book, stepmom is a mom. Because for me, being a mom has nothing to do with biology. And then came three more little girls. God gave me His living word, and it continues to pour truth and healing and blessing over my life. And I will tell you, I am not who I was. I am a totally transformed individual. God has healed me and changed me from the inside. And the shame that plagued much of my life has faded into something beautiful called freedom. You see, the enemy does His best work in the dark. But God does His best work in the light. So 12 years ago began what continues today for me to share whatever, whenever, with whoever the Holy Spirit leads me to share with. And thankfully, most often, that happens one-on-one. And I have never shared perfectly. But as I have watched God use me to bring Jesus and His healing and His freedom to people, I have found my greatest joy. Sharing my failures and my pain doesn't usually make people think less of me. Or even give others even my own children, license to sin. But it connects me to other people, even my own children. And I have shared my whole story with my adult children. And I share the foundation with my little people as the Holy Spirit guides me each day. Jesus said to the adulteress, to the woman caught in the act of adultery, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." He set her free. God did not set aside his law to set me free. This is Good Friday, and we know he paid the price in full for my freedom. Jesus did not come to make me more religious. He came to set me free. Thank you for listening.